कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
गोविंद लॉर्ड गौरांगा सिंग्स इन अ वेरी स्वीट वॉइस हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Whether you live at home or as a forest saint, in happiness or in distress, don't forget, please chant the holy name and fill your lips with Hari Nam. Bound in Maya's net, you have slaved and toiled in vain, but now that you have a human life and consciousness, please chant Radha Madhava. This life must surely end soon, and you have not Rishikesh, the master of the senses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises, at least once, please taste Nam Rasa, the nectar of the holy name. In that land of Nadia, on the island of Godrum, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up a marketplace of the holy name, meant for the deliverance of all fallen souls. O men of faith, O men of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg this one request. Please chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. Being careful to remain free from offenses, just take the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all improper behavior, carry on your worldly duties only in relation to Krishna. And showing the showing of compassion to all fallen souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion. Go, Premanande. Irupanitananda Ananta Prakash Sebhavika Hemone Chaitanya Radas. Thus, Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Kabo Guru Kabo Shaka Kabo Britya Lila Purve Yena Tena Bhavi Braje Kaila Kela. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes he serves as his friend, and sometimes he serves as his servant. Just as Lord Balaram played with Krishna in these three different modes in Braja. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head. And sometimes Lord Krishna massages the feet of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram considers himself a servant, and he knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. Sometimes, when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. Who is this mystic power? Where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demigoddess? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Lord Balaram spoke like that when Krishna was massaging his feet. Then because he considers himself always the servant of Krishna, then he's saying, how has it come that my Lord and Master is massaging my feet? This is the work of the Yogamaya. This is the Lord's own personal mystical potency. Otherwise, how I can become bewildered? Only the Lord's own potency can bewilder me and put me in this position, position of accepting service from his Master. What is the value of the throne to Lord Krishna? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads that dust makes the holy places sacred. And even Lord Balaram, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, and I myself, who are all portions of his plenary portion, eternally carry that dust on our head. I mention here, when the Kauravas to flatter Baladev, when the Kauravas to flatter Baladev so that he would carry their would be their ally, spoke ill of Krishna, Lord Balaram was angry and spoke this verse from Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. Lord Chaitanya is also the only controller, Ekala Ishwar. All others are his associates and servants, Saravritya. His elders, such as Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, and Srivas Thakur, as well as his other devotees, whether his juniors, his equals, or his superiors, all are his servants who help him in his pastimes. Lord Gauranga fulfills his aims with their help. Sri Advaitacharya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who are plenary parts of the Supreme Lord, are his principal associates. With these two, the Lord performs his pastimes in various ways. Lord Advaitacharya is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaitacharya is actually a servant of the Supreme Lord. I cannot describe the truth of Advaitacharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Lord Chaitanya appear. Some time ago, maybe a few months back, or maybe it was last year, there was some discussion amongst devotees internationally, something about the value or the necessity of Advaitacharya. And I forget everything that was being said, but on one side there was a minimization of Advaitacharya, that Advaitacharya does not give one admittance into Brajalila, or I think maybe it was mentioned Madhurya Rasa and Krishna Prema. And the other side pointed out that this was not an accurate way to think about Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya is Sadashiva Mahavishnu. He is not directly the manifestation of one of the residents, eternal associates of Krishna at Braj, like Lalita or Vishaka or a Manjari as such. He's the manifestation of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu combined. However, it was pointed out with reference to Srila Sridhar Maharaj and also to other Gaudiya Acharyas that it is by the mercy of Advaitacharya that Mahaprabhu came to this world, appeared in this world. So in that way, he did not just give a few individuals entrance into Krishna Lila, but he gave the whole world for many thousands of years. All that will come in this world have a chance to enter into higher planes of transcendence by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the Advaitacharya himself caused the Lord to come down. So you have one section trying to minimize, trying to give focus in Madhurya Ras, but at the same time minimizing a personality like Advaitacharya. And then we see how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, it is impossible. I cannot fully describe to you the glories of Advaitacharya. He does not think, well, Advaitacharya plays a nominal role here, because we fallen jivas who have just come from, you know, America Desh and Russia Desh and all these Malecha Deshes, now we're entering Madhurya Ras, and Advaitacharya has some nominal role to play in our benefit. How this type of thinking evolves must be also the potency of the Supreme Lord. But it is not Yoga Maya, it is called Mahamaya. That is not divine. There is a divine illusion causing our thinking, and there is a non-divine, a mundane illusion causing our thinking. But we are always caused to think. We are not the doer, either materially or spiritually. All that the living entities do in the material world or in the spiritual world depends on inspiration. They will be inspired by the mundane energy of the Lord, and they'll create atom bombs and wage war with each other, or they will do so many things. They'll create music and architecture and so many things of the mundane nature, so much art they'll create, and so many things they'll create. And without inspiration, they don't create. An artist, a creator, he has to have inspiration. Those who have no inspiration, they have writer's block. They cannot write. They sit in front of their expensive typewriter computer. They can't say anything. They're blocked. Only when getting inspiration. So one side inspiration comes from Maya's kingdom. And another side inspiration comes from the eternal kingdom, from Goloka, from Vaikuntha, from Vrindavan itself, inspired by Krishna himself and inspired by Krishna's associates. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a super inspired personality. And he speaks of Advaitacharya with such reverence and such respect and appreciation. And he points out in a gist the totality of his glories. If it were not for him, Lord Gauranga would not have descended. Shri Advaitacharya Prabhu ki jai. And then he says, I cannot describe that truth of Advaitacharya. He has delivered the entire world by making Lord Krishna descend. And that means in the form of Sri Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Rama as his younger brother. The activities of Lord Rama were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, he tolerated the suffering. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Rama from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. But when Lord Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, or Lakshman, became his elder brother to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. So in Ram Leela, Rama means Krishna, and Sita means Srimati Radharani, and Lakshman means Balaram, brother. Lakshman is brother of Ram, Balaram the brother of Krishna. In Ram Leela, Lord Rama, he lives in the forest. He lives many years in exile. He suffers many hardships. And even after returning to his kingdom, Ayodhya, he has to banish Sita from his kingdom. He has to banish Sita again to the forest, to the ashram of Virishi, to show the people that good government is promised to everyone, not just to the rich or famous or those who are close to the king, but good government for all, even good government for the rascals and those who don't deserve it. That was his role. He's showing these things. This type of suffering was intolerable for Lakshman to see, but he had to bear it because he is the younger brother. We see practically in the culture in India, the younger brother has to bear so many things from his older brother. I see that practically. It's something to do with the deep culture. So there was Lakshman in the position of the younger brother, and whatever decision Ram took, he had to accept that. You see, he had to accept that. But during Ram Leela, then Lakshman promised, I will never become your younger brother again. The next time, I'm going to be your older brother. And then I won't have to tolerate this. So then in the next incarnation, that's Krishna and Balaram. And of course, Balaram being the elder brother. Then he serves Krishna, but he makes him to enjoy all types of happiness. He wants to see Krishna is enjoying and always in happiness. Is counteracting what he had to bear when he appeared along with Lord Rama. So sometimes people say Lord Rama is superior because he appeared first. Some people say, no, Krishna is superior. And even amongst Vaishnavas, this little argument is going on. So one thing which is said is there's no beginning to a circle. A circle is simply going on. The next time Rama appears, someone may say, oh, Krishna appeared before that. They may remember that Krishna appeared, then Rama appeared. They're going in a circle. We do not understand who is superior by who appeared first, actually, in terms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although you could say, he kept the best for last. And the last avatar was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the best of all avatars. That is Sarva avatar. All avatars in one avatar. All avatars in one avatar. Krishna is there. Even Radha Krishna is there. Narasimha is there. Varaha is there. Vamana. All avatars. Sava avatar. Gaura avatar. Mahaprabhu is the culmination of all avatars. So the best for last. But incidentally, we do not judge. We're not the judge, but we do not understand the superiority of one avatar or one personality above another, even if it includes the Parshads or the Jivas, according to the time they appeared in. But rather, their contribution is to be considered, and their bhava, or their mellow and rasa. Someone will say, I heard someone said the other day, one devotee's son in Mangalore said, well, you know, how do I know Jesus isn't the one? Someone may say, well, how do I know Allah's not the one? Everybody says their God is the one, their prophet is the one. Yes, that's true. You can't do it unless you think it's best. Even the druggies, they think it's best. You know, they think that God's gift to humanity is intoxication, you see, or that God is intoxication, or that God is love, that God is sex even. And they believe it. And therefore they live like that. So you have to believe in what you do. You see? So then some people see that, well, everybody says they're the best. Everybody says their thing is the highest. Then they become discouraged. There's no way to tell. Oh, it's all one. Yatamat tatapat. It's all one. Worship any god in India. Ganesh, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Krishna, Varaha. Anything, whatever. The same, same, same. These people, be they Indian or foreign, whether they're querying about Jesus or Vishnu or Ganesh or the impersonal Brahman, if they want to know what is supreme, they will have to look deeply into the subject. They cannot understand the ultimate goal of life by what we call a casual perusal of the evidence, a casual glance over the evidence. They will have to look deep into that, and they will have to apply the practice also. Because it is ultimately the experience which confirms reality. It is the experience which confirms the existence of God. And the experience is based on two things. Our faith, Shraddha, and our application, or our practicing life. Practicing life and faith. This is the confirmation. I mentioned to Dhruva Prabhu the other day, you can't prove that Krishna is God. You can't prove it. You can establish so many things as evidence, but ultimately the only proof is your experience. How do you know? Once Srila Prabhupada asked, how do you know Krishna is God? Somebody said, it says in the scriptures. He said, there are many scriptures that say many things. Now, all the acharyas have said, so many saints in so many countries, they have also said. You may say, it says in Bhagavad Gita, but someone will say, well, it says in the Quran, it says in the Torah, it says in the Bible, you see. Well, who has faith, he will believe in a particular way. But Prabhupada was saying, how do you know? And I believe that the one devotee then said, Prabhupada, you have said. And Prabhupada didn't even accept that. No. How do you know? And then one devotee, standing in the back, said, Krishna's in the heart, and he reveals himself. And Prabhupada turned and pointed to the back and said, yes, that is the answer. So you cannot prove, lastly, even to yourself, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, or Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, or Vishnu is. You can't prove any of these things to yourself, ultimately, to a point of complete satisfaction and enlightenment, unless you have the experience. And to have the experience, we have to have faith. The foremost principle in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness is Shraddha, faith. Everything is based on that. And the development of faith manifests in different stages of spiritual advancement. So, what I was saying. However, in discussing with others, it comes to the point of rasa. This is how you establish the superiority in Vishnu Tattva. Basic knowledge will establish the superiority of Krishna consciousness over Judaism, over Islam, and over Christianity, and all sorts of shamanistic religions and all types of things that are out there in the New Age. Knowledge will establish Krishna consciousness as superior to any of those systems. There isn't a superior body of knowledge. And you don't have to establish about rasa in all those that I just mentioned, because there is no rasa. And those religions don't come to the point of rasa. They are actually sub-religious religions. They are not even full-fledged religions, because of the ones I just mentioned, none of them descend from the spiritual world. What is that one? Dharman tu suk suk bhagavat pranitam. Real religion is descending and comes from the spiritual platform. And these others mentioned Christianity, Islam, they are all generated from this material world. They're not descending. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was asked, what is the similarity or everything between Christianity and Krishna consciousness? He said, there is none. There are no similarities. Krishna consciousness is a fully descending system which has come from the spiritual world, and this Christianity is generated out of the deserts of Eastern Europe or something like that. It is not descending. So, what is the point I was thinking?
But the other religions are not...
No.
Descended.
No, what was I saying?
Before established that. Established.
Oh yeah, so you know that those are established by knowledge. But then you enter into Sri Vaishnavism, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, and their diversions. You enter into Vaishnavism. Then how to establish Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to establish him in his proper position as the supreme goal in transcendental religion. Understand? That is not by knowledge. They will match, the Sri Vaishnavas and Mothers, they will match tit for tat knowledge, what we have to offer. Because the plane of Mahaprabhu's religion itself has left knowledge behind. It is called Jnana Sunya Bhakti. Sri Vaishnava, all these other religions, they're in Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But Mahaprabhu has rejected Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and he has requested a higher plane to descend, Sunya Bhakti. Free from knowledge. Knowledge means a calculation. You cannot have love when there's a calculation, pure love. Any calculation. You have a friend you love in friendship, or wife, or husband, or anything in friendship. Conjugal. Different types of love are there. But if you're calculating based on their wealth, based on their social influence, calculation, and you calculate your relationship based on these things, it will not be pure, and therefore it will not be ultimately enduring. It will have some quality of being jaded. So Mahaprabhu has rejected knowledge, actually. And that is called Jnana Sunya Bhakti. No calculation. No expectation. Only surrender. It is based on surrender. Purely surrendering and fulfilling the wishes and desires of the Supreme Lord. So, the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're also an ocean of knowledge. Otherwise, why are you always going to them to find out something? Be it about the universe, be it about deity worship. There are so many things. Even we find that many of these followers of Mahaprabhu, they run to other religions and other acharyas. Of course, that's not so bad. They even run to psychiatrists, they run to soothsayers, they run to... what do they call these people that chase out ghosts?
Exorcists.
They run hither and thither and everywhere. They go into caves and look for druids. They run everywhere. These are not the true followers of Mahaprabhu. These are the wayward followers. But even amongst those who are holding close to the line, we see that they often go to these other sampradayas for knowledge. You see? So if knowledge is our basis, as it was to establish Krishna consciousness superior to Christianity and other things, then these other religions, they may become established superior to Krishna consciousness. So it is not knowledge. There we depart to another plane. And they have to come to that platform with us, because in all Vaishnava religion there is rasa. There is rasa. Dasiras, sakiras, there is rasa. Vatsaliras. But only in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since the time of Madhavendra Puri, is there Madhurya Ras. And 300 or 400 years ago, it became the issue to establish the supremacy of religion based on rasa. And it was done. It was done thoroughly by Jiva Goswami and his son Darbas. And then it was shown elegantly also in the writings of the other Goswamis and those who followed in their footsteps. It was shown. And due to that, then many people who have no place in Vrindavan, they came to Vrindavan to get established in this new concept. Even Ranganath people came there and established huge Ranganath temple in Vrindavan. Actually, they have no business there. Nimbarkas and others then began to fabricate literature of their own lineage that showed Madhurya Ras and all these things there, so that they did not have to forego the obvious conclusion that the highest religion that has ever come to the human race is that which was presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So mischief was done. And then even amongst those who followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also mischief has been done. Even those who accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mischief has been done. That mischief we call Sahajism. Different brands of Sahajism. That means, in gist, the cheapening process. Make it cheap. Pull it down and equate it with the mundane experience and make it available to all with no qualification, no endeavor whatsoever. Bring the whole thing down to a lower level. We don't want to pay the price. We want to bargain. We want to haggle. We want to somehow bring the price down and make it cheap and easily acceptable. This is Sahajism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it available to everyone, but we have to reach for it. We have to try for it. We cannot be self-deceivers and at the same time expect to be a recipient of the highest gift of divine love. We cannot be a self-deceiver. And Sahajism, more or less, in its various shades, is self-deceiving and worse. Of course, in many cases, it is much, much worse. It is almost criminal in places. It is so deceitful and so corrupted. But in many places, it's very mildly self-deceptive. And when there is self-deception, then we again find the inspiration which we are getting comes from Maya's kingdom, not from Yoga Maya, but from Mahamaya. And we draw many erroneous conclusions and even seem to find the evidence for them in Shastra. Like in the Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam Baba section, they conclude that Nittananda Prabhu is Radharani. This is one of their erroneous conclusions. Where they got this thing? Where they got this? Then they also have another one that Nityananda and Janavi Devi appeared as, and they name two personalities. No, sorry. They name one of their acharyas and say that Nityananda and Janavi Devi appeared as that particular acharya. I don't think it was Ramdas. It was a guru before Ramdas. Ramdas's guru, one Bhagavat something or something, I think. And they conclude that as Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, similarly, this guru, they say, is Balaram. Not Balaram and Revati. When I heard this, I said, what would be the use of it? What's the ontological use of it? Because Mahaprabhu appeared two in one, therefore now there's a trend, everybody goes two in one. You know, what is the ontological use of it? How does it build in reality? What aspect in Ras and Leela does it play? And the answer is nothing. It's just simply a concoction. And if it were to happen, we would expect, well, it would have happened around the same time of Mahaprabhu. Not 150 or 250 years later, to no avail other than to give some excitement in a small group somewhere. Nowhere mentioned in scriptures also. Nowhere mentioned. No support of it anywhere. So, spiritual practitioners, with the inspiration of Mahamaya, they evolve wonderful concoctions, wonderful types of concoctions. They evolve the meaning of many things.